Sister Cheryl is online. I'd like to say to Sister Cheryl, I know that today is your girl's birthday, so we'd like to, on behalf of the whole church, wish her a happy birthday. And so at this time, I don't know how many of you here have sadly participated in the funeral service of a loved one. And then the speaker or somebody used Psalm 23rd, right? It's very common for people to use Psalm 23rd. And when I was thinking to use this verse, I was thinking somebody is going to use this thinking exactly about maybe a loved one that is no longer with them or is resting. But what the reason why we chose this is because it was written by a shepherd. That is the only reason why I chose, because it was somebody who knew how to be a shepherd and has so many gifts. So that's why we chose. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, and he went, like most of us, we have to cross the valley. And many people say there is no way you can climb the mountain unless you go to the valley first. And so that we know those things. It says, I will not be afraid. I will not let fear dictate where do I go and why I go there. And because I know that whatever step I take, you, Lord, will be with me. Because you are my good shepherd. Remember when he starts the psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. Your shepherd, your shepherd's rod and his staff protects me. And by the way, it is still does. It is still does. So the topic, the title that we chose for today is the Good Shepherd. In Portuguese and also in Spanish and some other languages, even in English now, is we are using very commonly the title for a shepherd. We are calling a pastor. And I'm not going to be talking about me today. We are talking about the one who I'm following, and I hope that you follow his footsteps. That is the shepherd that we are talking about, okay? So let's, John 10 focuses on the image of the sheep and the sheepfolds and shepherds. The symbols help us to understand who is the shepherd and what he wants for us and from us. Many people sometimes in relationships, they want the for, but they don't like to add the from, because from means giving, for means receiving. And many people are on the business of receiving, but not giving. And we are approaching the thanksgiving, not thanksgiving, okay? So that's we approach. And because of that in mind, we decide to talk about this subject. John chapter 10, verse 7 says, I am the door. The message reveals Jesus' confrontation with the Jewish leaders who closed the door to the young man, blind beggar. Remember the story we mentioned here in a sermon before when we are talking about the outcasts? We mentioned that story that was born blind. You see this in John chapter 9. Now continue. Shepherds are spiritual and sometimes political leaders, just like David was both. David was a shepherd in the real life and also a shepherd when he became a king. And so, and prophets. There are prophets that were prophets, but they were shepherds as well. You see this in Isaiah 56, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 25, Ezekiel 34, Zechariah 11. Those are just a few examples if you want to take a picture and have something funny. I mean fun, not funny, fun to do this afternoon. Don't let your mind go any other place, but it stays in a proper place. So you can take those texts and study them. The true shepherd would come through the door. There are some shepherds that get in through the window or to some other ways. But the true shepherd always comes through the door because he's a guest. He's invited in. The thieves and robbers could never go through the door. So what they do, they climb over. They are thieves. That's how they come in. However, they would never be able to get the sheep to follow them because the sheep can only understand the voice of the true shepherd. But some sheep sometimes do have a tendency to listen to any voice and just get away from the pasture where they're supposed to be. It happens in every church. It happens in every aspect of life, even typically to the animal itself. The false shepherd can never lead the sheep. Instead, they steal them away. The false shepherd leads the sheep from behind, spanking. The true shepherd leads the sheep from the front, calling. It says the blind beggar, you know the story. Look what happened to them. The false shepherds didn't care for him. They didn't. And when he was healed, instead of rejoicing with him, they questioned, "Are you lying?" You know the story. And what they did, they even excommunicate him, kick him out of the church because he was saying that somebody greater than they healed him. How can that be? So they excommunicate him. And by the way, some churches out there, I'm not going to mention the name in particularly, knows this excommunication business very well. They kill a lot of people and stole their properties, confiscate their properties, destroy their lives with this word. After his communication, Jesus came to him and took him in. He was rejected. Jesus brought him in. The fold was a nation of Israel. Chapter 10, verse 16 of John. Among the Gentiles, there is the other sheep. As a Seventh-day Adventist, let me make a pause here to say to you, you are very blessed because the Lord brought you to the true church. But don't feel yourself so confident to the point that you become arrogant. Because arrogance is going to move you out of the sheepfold. It's going to make you somebody that God has not chosen to be. Sometimes people can be in the right place for the wrong reasons. Be in the right place for the right reasons. And that's the only way to be right. Among the Gentiles, among all the people. Remember, if you read Acts chapter 10, when Peter was told, ordered, and he has to receive a vision, the Holy Spirit has told him, "What are you doing here? There is some Gentile over there waiting for the gospel." "Oh, no, I cannot go there because they are Gentiles. Salvation is only for this kind of people." And sometimes we just came out of an election. You notice that in the news, they talk a lot about groups. They want to divide us in groups. Oh, this group did this, this group did that. It's all this separation, this hate. It goes on. That hate existed long before the Democrat or Republican parties existed. Hate has been, since the devil has convinced Adam and Eve to sin, hate has been around. And separation is here. It's going to be here until the Lord comes and take all his children to heaven. And you must be part of that group because the shepherd is coming for you. Every true shepherd is called and directed by God to seek God's sheep. That is the function of a shepherd. It's to serve, not to be served. It's very sad when people are elected to an office, or, and I talk about office, not only political, but any position. And instead of being committed to serve, they want to be served. If the faithful shepherd speaks God's word, what would happen. The sheep will hear his voice and will not be afraid to follow him. He will love the sheep and care for them. But what does that picture tell you? Yes, I have been a shepherd. I have been a pastor for a few years. And sometimes they look like, sometimes they almost smell like, but when they open their mouth, they don't know how. It doesn't matter how long they stay among the sheep. They never bet. They can't. And sometimes people realize that sometimes even the sheep embrace that wolf because it smells like one of us. It even sometimes looks like one of us. But be aware. The sheepfold encloses made of rocks with an open, just as a door, so the sheep can go in. There's no other back way, it's just only one way. The shepherd or the porter, the word porter means the one who is at the door, okay? That's where the word porter means. Would guard the flock at night by laying across the opening. Meaning, if anyone wants to hurt my sheep, has to go over me. He doesn't look for comfort. He stays there all night. He stays with them all day and then all night on the path, blocking, being a wall, part of that wall. Do you see there? That's where the shepherd, the good shepherd, he stays so that the sheep can have peace and rest. What is the application of John chapter 10, 7 to 10? I am the door of the sheepfold. Sheep can leave the fold, false religions, and enter his flock. I don't know how many of you here before used to belong to another denomination. Maybe a denomination that was teaching you almost everything. Close enough to make you comfortable. Close enough not to motivate you to stand up and says, what? That's not in the Bible. But some people know they heard some absurd things. But they say, but I trust the shepherd. He's saying that it's okay. He said that Jesus meant this. I always mention to you the Bereans, you know what they say about them, right? They heard these people full of the Holy Spirit preaching, and yet they still went home and opened the word and says, let me verify. Before I embrace anything, let me verify, because my life is too precious for me to allow myself to be deceived. Be a sheep, but be careful. If you are willing to embrace everything just because you are a sheep, that may cost your life. A godly shepherd leads the sheep to the arms of the good shepherd. He does not self-promote it. It is all about who do I serve. Many people do not understand that for you to be a minister, in order for you to be a member, because every member of the true church is also a shepherd. Amen. We are called to do exactly the same thing. I have a title of a pastor, but I'm not the only shepherd in this church. I hope not. I pray not. The beggar was cast out of Judaism, but he went into the master's flock. Many of us here, I'm one of them. I was in a different church. There was one time I was invited to go to a Baptist church. I went. I went once to a Pentecostal church. I was invited there. I went to a Presbyterian school. I spent 4 years in a Presbyterian school. Many times they invite us for a special prayer meeting. I even went to camping with their church once. And there, when we are camping, one of the young people, a Presbyterian, came to us because we are 4 or 5 Seventh-day Adventists that went together. And there was a Sabbath, and they have some activities, and we stay with ourselves worshiping the Sabbath. I mean, worship in this on the Sabbath. You know what I mean. And they came and says, tell me, where in the Bible says about the Sabbath? We have no idea what was his plan, so we gave him all the scriptures. He said, is there more? He says, yeah, we have a lot. And so we've given him all the Bible text. And then came lunchtime, and it was announced that in the afternoon there will be a biblical game. And so we went to see this biblical game, and the challenge was to see who remember or have more Bible verses memorized. And guess who was there? The same young man that was asking for all those Bible texts. He here, all these Presbyterians, a lot of them, even their pastor and everything there, and they said, okay, it's your turn. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And everybody there put their heads down, and they couldn't stop him. And they came another one, and he went on and on. And he won. He won, and they play another joke. Because the pastor got so upset with what the young man did, they said the reward was a big piece of pork meat. Because he not only used the text about the Sabbath, he talked about the text about clean and unclean. He tried to put, you know, young people sometimes they have some kind of sense of humor. That's what he did. This it means that sometimes people don't understand. People sometimes can use religion as a joke. He became a part of the flock, this individual. Not the fold, which is God's church. He is the door of salvation. 10 verse 39. As the door, Jesus delivers sinners from bondage and also leads them into freedom. Thieves and robbers, the Bible says they are the religious leaders. They are another story. This is a true story. I invite someone we were fixing some issues in one church building many, many years, more than 30 years ago. And one individual knew about electronics and sound system. So he went with me to buy. And there we negotiating the price and tried to get a discount for the church. And then he said, Pastor, I noticed that you tried to bargain a better price for the church and everything else instead of just going buying. And I said, yeah, because, you know, every dollar that we save, it can be used for something else to improve the ministry. And he says, you know, I'm from a church that is a very big church. And I'm not going to mention the name out of respect for him. And he says, I come from a big church. I went in business to Hawaii. And my company paid for us to stay in a very, very, very expensive hotel. And when I got there, my pastor was there. And when he saw me, he put his head down and pretended that he didn't see me. And why he was so careful is because the week before, he was in front of the church saying that our finances is in very bad shape. We need you to give more. We are not receiving enough support. Don't you love this church? That was what he was saying. And then we realized that he was there and the church was paying for it. So I don't know all the details why he was there, he deserved a vacation or not. The point is that this individual was so disappointed that he was given one picture and yet the reality was a little bit different. So he says, they do not teach the word of God in their churches. By the way, Jesus Christ said this clearly. You can open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. Jesus talked about this kind of shepherds that are in the church for the wrong reasons, to mislead people. In Mark 7, 7, 8, also you can find that. They do not truly love the good shepherd or the sheep. I have seen, brothers and sisters, and it's getting worse and worse. We have seen people that enter the ministry because of the pay. Enter the ministry just because they need a salary. Many people are not even properly prepared. Our conference right now is dealing with a very, not only our conference, but the work in the North America division. They have less young people going to the ministry. They want to do other things, and so there are very few. Even the conference decided to give a scholarship to motivate the young people to get into the seminary to study for, to become pastors. But that backfired also, because sometimes when the people have a free education, they may not have the desire or the skills, but because they go just because it's free. Because I'm being paid for, so I go. And what happens is that when they become ministers, they don't have the commitment to the word or to the true shepherd. And they are not able to be a real shepherd. We have people today that sometimes are invited to the ministry that have no training at all, have no understanding about how the church is supposed to serve their members. I have seen cases of individuals that have no theology, have no degree in theology, and they are being introduced to churches and become pastors. The religious leaders were interested in providing for themselves. All they were thinking is about what goes to their pocket. You know, thou shalt not covet. That's what he says. Took advantage of the widow. You know, here are some examples. Mark 12, they took. Turned the temple into a place for thieves. They manipulated the offering system so they can get some extra out of it. They plot to kill Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was making them uncomfortable. Brothers and sisters, the good shepherd came to save the sheep. But the false shepherds, they take advantage of the sheep and mislead them. He gives us life and save us through the door. The invitation for you is, come in, enjoy eternal life. I am, he said, the bread of life. In John 6:35, he said, I am the light of the world. Chapter 8, verse 12. Chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. And again, the fourth, he says in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I am the real one. Shepherds by occupation. The Bible mentions, do you know who is the first one to mention the Bible as a shepherd? Abel, yes. Then the patriarchs. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd, even though it doesn't talk much about it, but they were. There was a shepherd that even got himself in trouble because he started to make a business in order to get a wife, right? Jacob, right? And he got four wives instead of one. And all of them, you know, the mess that it became the whole life. Moses was a shepherd. And David, of course. Now, why I highlight David there? Because David, many centuries later, the son of David, the call the son of David, is the good shepherd. a shepherd that came from a shepherd. What I like about David, even though he had quite a few things about in his life, and we do have Davids here today too. And what I like about this David is that he was a composer. He was a writer. He was a musician. He has a wonderful, very wonderful attitude throughout his life. And he was an individual that motivated the nation so much that the nation saw him, even though he was a king, as a shepherd. He was there as a prototype of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ also was a shepherd, a prophet, and a king of kings. So that was David. A true shepherd knows each sheep, individual's traits, and its special needs. The good shepherd dies for the sheep. See John 10, verse 11 to 13. John 10, verse 11 to 13 says this: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The worker. Who is the worker? People hire to take care of the sheep, but they don't have the commitment. It's like this: as long as I get paid, well paid, I do the job. But if I'm not paid or for some reason, look what it says here. It says here, who is paid to keep the sheep, he is different from the shepherd, because the shepherd owns them. One group is paid, another one is because he owns them. When the worker sees a wolf coming, they take off. He runs away and leaves the sheep to defend for itself. And what happens to a group of sheep without any leadership, without any, it scatters. Then the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. This is what the Bible says. Very good illustration. Applies very clearly even today in any aspect. The man runs away because he's only paid work. He's a paid worker and does not really care about the sheep. He cares about the dinero, money, dinero. That's all that he wants. Before Christ sacrificed, he says, before Christ sacrificed, the sheep died for the shepherd. But now, here you see the good shepherd dying for the sheep. And that's what it is. Sacrificial nature of Jesus Christ's death. Five times you find this in John 10, verse 11, verse 15, 17, and 18. It says, he died as our substitute. He died for the nation of Israel, John 11, verse 15, 52, and for all of us, all creation, John 6, 51. You all know this. Can you read this with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like to read this in a different way. This is the way I like to read. For God so loved me that he sent his Son to give me an opportunity to believe. And because he made it possible for me to believe, I do believe, so I will have eternal life. Amen. Higher work than shepherd. Higher work is paid to watch over the sheep. When danger comes, they run away. But the good shepherd stays and gives his life for his sheep. Shepherd. I don't know how many of you, have you ever heard that a shepherd is actually a combination between the sheep and the herd? And what is the word shepherd means is describe the function of the shepherd. What is the main function of the shepherd? to keep them together. As a herd. That's what the shepherd does. Keep them together. Watch over them. Here comes the word. A large group of animals. And yeah, sometimes, by the way, don't feel offended to be called animal, okay? Don't feel offended to be called a sheep. We are animals. Rational animals, hopefully. A large group of animals that live, feed, or journey together. What is the word? Together. Because if there is no togetherness, there is no herd. And there is no shepherd. Okay? Or are kept together. Again, kept together, journey together. You get it? Together. Can we say together? Together. How long? Forever. Always together. I tell some members, it says, you better be aware that we are stuck to each other forever. We better behave, we better love each other because this is a forever business. Amen. The good shepherd purchased the sheep, yes, with his own life. They are his because he died for them. By nature, sheep are unwise. There was another word that I could use here, dumb. And with a tendency to always getting themselves in trouble. And by the way, brothers and sisters, don't go and call your children sheep. Because they just are so, do some unwise things and get themselves in trouble. They need to be loved and guided, just like any sheep. They need a shepherd to care for them. Sheep are peaceful animals. They are peaceful. They are kind animals. Anybody here ever raised a sheep before? A lamb? A little lamb? They are lovable. They are one of the best animals ever to be around. What is said about the whole thing, the whole problem with sin, is that they saw a lamb to be born. They helped to deliver the lamb. They put the milk in their mouth and they cared them and they kept them close to them. And then later on they have to offer that lamb they love so much. They have to go and sacrifice because of their sin. You have no idea how the impact that these families have for centuries when they had to go and kill and the children, the impact on the children because they play with their little animal. They love that animal. They have even a name for that animal. They call like one of their own. And now they have to sacrifice that animal. It was a very painful experience. Now, when we look at the cross, why did he have to be sacrificed? Because he loved us too much. He knows, the Lord knows his sheep. Yes, brothers and sisters, he knows that you are here today. He knows what is in your heart. He knows your name. And the Bible says that he knows every single hair we have in our head. In my case, it's a better, easy job. So, he knows all the hair that is in your head. He knows everything. To know means to have a very intimate relationship. To become one. God and his people. He wants to be one with us. Jesus knows our names. Yes, Jesus knows that one also. They are there. The Good Shepherd. The good shepherd and his sheep. Let me go back here a little bit. It says the good shepherd. Let's just wait for the animation to take place. Notice that here is taking care of one particular sheep. We're going to make a reference to this. But then, of course, the other sheep just come and join. I clicked too fast here and went. Now, God's people are compared to sheep. Sheep are clean animals, unlike pigs and dogs. You can find that in a reference in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, 21 and 22. Sheep are helpless and they do need care. You can see that in Psalm 23. They are prone to wander and must be searched and brought back. Now, let me quickly make a very quick reference to Luke chapter 15. Everybody knows, every Christian knows about this parable that Jesus mentioned. There was a total of 100 sheep. The shepherd spend all this time, day and night, over there in the field as they need to have pastures. And they eat and they eat. But have anybody here ever seen a sheep eating? They put their head down, just like some people, they when they go into sometimes this all you can eat, you know, they don't put their head up. And so the sheep goes like this. They don't look at anything but where is the food. They are not preoccupied with anything else. They don't even pay attention to, is my mom nearby or is dad nearby or is my cousin here or my brother, where's my sister? No, it's time to eat. And they, yep. And you know what they do? They put all their food inside of their stomach because later on they're going to spend a lot of time, this is gross, but bring that thing back and chew it again. All right? And when you see an animal lay down, I guess it's just trying to process the food properly. And that's why they are clean animals, because they really chew well their food. Okay? So he tells this story. There was 100 sheep, but one got lost. When it's time for him to come, they call. And all of them came. So he traveled. Remember, this shepherd is very tired. He spent the whole day taking care. Now the journey back and take all of them back. As he arrives there, put them all in safety. He does something that good shepherds do. Only good shepherds do. Count them. Count each one of them. And then there is one missing. Immediately, because you see, the shepherds know that if I don't go for that sheep immediately, somebody is already running towards that crying sheep. Because the moment that she put her head up, or he, okay, let's be careful. The moment that he or she put her head up because it's full, now I don't need to look for, and it's getting dark, it's hard to see where the food is. And so I put a head up, mom, dad, hey, where are you? And then comes the realization, I am lost. I'm all by myself. Fear comes in immediately. I don't know if you ever seen an animal overwhelmed with fear. They change their voice. They have a different cry. And also their own body starts to have some odor that can transmit fear. And the wolves, far away. What? Whoa. Let's go. And they start because they know opportunity. This is one thing that good people should learn from bad people. If there is one thing we can learn. Sometimes bad people are more determined to do wrong than good people are determined to do what is right. Sometimes we good people are too slow to do what is right. And the bad people, they stick together and they put everything to it. I don't know. We have to wake up. We have to be more committed. If things are so precious to us, we need to put the dedication, the time to prove that it is valuable to us. And so there was this animal now crying. It's not that happy cry, it's a scary cry. And more than a mile away, those animals, the wolves, the beasts, says free dinner, time for Thanksgiving. And they ran after, where is that turkey? Where is that sound coming from? And they start moving fast. So the shepherd, when he says 98, 99, he knew, I'm competing with somebody who is much faster than I am. Somebody who has the power that I don't have to smell with miles, to hear from miles. My power is very limited, but there is one different thing between me and that wolf. I know my sheep. I know where I was, and I know what she might be. So that makes the plan a little bit even. And he didn't say, I'm so tired, I haven't lunch yet, I haven't dinner yet, let me take some, then I'll go for it. No, he moved immediately, he ran as if that was the only one sheep that he had. He ran, and when he got close to the location, he called, and she heard his voice. And immediately, the fear started moving away. And here the wolves, they could sense that something changed on the scent they were feeling before. And the noise, the cry, and it stopped. And so the wolves stop and it says, what happened? And worse yet, when he grabbed that very trembling sheep and he puts it up and put on his neck, on his shoulder. Remember, the shepherd has been sweat because he was running. Now his scent and her scent sent something to the wolves. You have no business here anymore. And he took her back home. And when he got home, he said, I'm tired. I hope you don't do this again. No. He used more energy to celebrate, to call the neighbors and say, this sheep was lost and now has been found. Brothers and sisters, we need to have that kind of joy inside of us. We need to start searching for the ones that we're missing here. Look around you. Don't you realize that some are missing? As a shepherd, I need your help. I cannot do this by myself. God didn't ask me here to do everything and to leave you very comfortable sitting there doing nothing. We are all shepherds. Amen. Get the phone. Do something. Call people. Don't spank them. Don't criticize them. I haven't seen you for a long time. What happens to you? Are you still a Seventh-day Adventist? Just call people and say, hi. I just called to say hello. people are smart enough to know that if you connect with them, they will know what they are missing. But if you do not connect with them, they will remain missing for a little longer. Can we afford to lose our sheep? We need them. We need them. We need their warmth. We need their caring. We need them to join us. We are a family. And when one family member goes missing, we search for them. Be a good shepherd. Let's seek the sheep that is missing. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And you know those that are not here. And they know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I give up my life for my sheep. I hope, brothers and sisters, that we are all willing to give more so that we may have more. I hope to see all the good-looking sheep that we see here today in the kingdom. Amen. 3 o'clock, right side of the tree of life. Amen. There will be a good, very beautiful flock. And you need to be there because the good shepherd wants to talk to you. Amen. Let's stand and sing. He is the one who leadeth me.